7,000 years ago, a woman was buried with a secret that renders every history book in your local library obsolete. We found her in the salt of southwestern Trinidad, crouched in a permanent shiver 20 centimeters beneath the dirt. This is Banwari Man, and she is 5,400 years older than the common era. While the rest of the world was still waking up, she was part of a maritime empire that turned the Caribbean Sea into an industrial highway. But there is a shadow in her grave that no archaeologist can explain. Tucked into the crease of her pelvic bone is a single cylinder of polished black volcanic glass that does not exist naturally anywhere in the Lesser Antilles. It is a stone that belongs to the mountains of Mexico, 3,000 miles away. How did a prehistoric forager in Trinidad possess a ritual object from a civilization that shouldn't have existed yet? This is the mystery of the obsidian traveler, and it is the thread that pulls apart the entire lie of the primitive Caribbean. The people we call the Ortoiroid were not wandering nomads looking for a meal. They were the architects of the first great aquatic motorway. At sites like Spanish Water in Curaçao, we are finding shell middens so massive they resemble small hills. These are not trash heaps. They are processing plants. They were harvesting mangrove clams and oysters by the millions, and they were not eating them on site. The chemical signature of the shells proves they were being smoked and salted for long-distance transport. This was a commercial export economy functioning 6 millennia before the first European sail touched the horizon. They were moving high-quality flint from the quarries of Antigua across hundreds of miles of open blue water with nothing but dugout canoes and the stars. I want you to stop and look at your own hands for a second. Imagine the grit of wet sand and the sting of brine in a cut that won't heal because you are never truly dry. We are sitting in a canoe carved from a single silk cotton tree. The sun is a white hammer against the back of our necks as we navigate the serpent's mouth between Trinidad and the mainland. The water here is a chaotic graveyard of currents where the Orinoco River slams into the Atlantic. One wrong lean, and the sea swallows you and your entire cargo of salted meat. We are not just paddlers, we are mathematicians of the tide. We are reading the subtle shift in the color of the water from turquoise to deep indigo to predict the depth. We feel the vibration of the hull to know if a storm is brewing 50 miles over the horizon. This is the sensory reality of the Ortoiroid. They lived in a state of constant high-stakes navigation, where the ocean was their only floor. But as we move through the timeline, a cold silence begins to settle over the western tip of Cuba. When the Spanish eventually arrive in the Pinar del Rio province, they find a group of people called the Guanahatabe, who shouldn't be there. They are the ghosts of this ancient world. They live in limestone caves, and they refuse to plant a single seed. Columbus brings the best Taino translators he has. But when they stand before the Guanahatabe, the air goes dead. Not a single word is understood. The Taino, who could speak to almost anyone across the entire Caribbean basin, found the Guanahatabe tongue to be a linguistic black hole. They represent a relic population that may have carried the secret of that Mexican obsidian. They were the final holdouts of the hunter-gatherer world, watching the rise of the farmers from the safety of the dark. This is where the history of the Caribbean takes its first violent turn. It is not a war of swords, but a war of the seed versus the shell. From the south, the Salidoid people are moving up the island chain. They are the horticulturalists. They bring manioc and they bring the painted pot to the horticulturalists. They bring manioc and they bring the painted pot to the horticulturalists. The earth was a gift you moved across. To the Salidoid, the earth was a resource you owned. As the farmers push north, they bring a high-density sedentary lifestyle that begins to suffocate the mobile maritime culture. In the archaeological layers of Puerto Rico, we see the trauma of this transition. The stone tools of the ancient world are suddenly found mixed with the broken shards of Salidoid pottery. It is the signature of a displacement. The ancient seafaring knowledge of the Ortoiroid is being harvested and repurposed by a new aggressive agricultural power. Think about the implications for the diaspora today. We are taught that our history is a series of arrivals, but we are never taught about the silence that preceded them. We are sitting in the year 2000 before the Common Era, and the smoke of slash-and-burn agriculture is beginning to choke the horizon. The old ways of the sea are being pushed to the margins. The Guanahatabe are retreating into the deepest swamps of Cuba because they realize that the newcomers don't just want to live on the land, they want to change the land. This is the birth of the sedentary trap. The freedom of the Ortoiroid Maritime Highway is being replaced by the boundaries of the farm. The clinical reality of the Ortoiroid displacement is revealed in the nitrogen isotopes found in their bones. As the Saladoid horticulturalists take over, we see a dramatic shift in the human diet. We move from a diverse high-protein marine diet to a narrow starch-based diet centered on corn and manioc. We see the first signs of dental decay and nutritional stress in the skeletal record. The progress of agriculture brought with it the first wave of systemic disease and physical decline in the Caribbean. We traded the health of the sea for the security of the silo. This was a calculated trade-off that paved the way for the massive chiefdoms of the Taino. But it came at the cost of the ancient world's vitality. Let's return to the mystery of that obsidian cylinder in the grave in Trinidad. For decades, historians claimed it was a fluke or a misidentification, but new X-ray fluorescence testing has confirmed it. That stone originated in the volcanic highlands of central Mexico. This means that 5,000 years ago, there was a trade link that stretched from the Gulf of Mexico down to the coast of South America. The Caribbean wasn't a collection of isolated islands, it was a hub. It was the center of a prehistoric world that was far more connected than we are willing to admit. The Guanahatabe were likely the last guardians of this ancient transcontinental link. Their unintelligible language wasn't a sign of being primitive. It was the last echo of a grander, older American civilization that was erased by the spread of the Arawak farmers. We have spent 5 centuries looking at the Caribbean through the eyes of the people who conquered it. We look at the ruins of Taino villages and think we are seeing the beginning of the story. But beneath those villages are the shell middens of the Ortoiroid, and deeper still are the bones of women like the one at Banwari Trace. They were the ones who truly knew the water. They were the ones who navigated the serpent's mouth without a compass. They were the ones who carried Mexican glass into the heart of the southern islands as a testament to a world without borders. Their story was silenced not because it was simple, but because it was a threat to the narrative of the European discovery. You have to decide if you are comfortable with a history that starts with a revival, or if you have the stomach to look at the erasure that happened before the first white man ever stepped on a beach. The Guanahatabe disappeared into the caves and took their language with them because they chose silence over submission. They are the ultimate mystery thread in our DNA. They are the part of the Caribbean soul that refuses to be categorized or farmed. When we look at the rising sea levels today, we are looking at the same ocean they mastered 7,000 years ago. We are walking on their graves every time we step onto a beach in Trinidad or Cuba. The evidence is clear. The Caribbean was the site of the first great cultural displacement in the Americas long before the Spanish arrived. It was a clash between the mobile masters of the sea and the sedentary masters of the soil. We are the products of that collision. We carry the blood of the farmers and the ghosts of the hunters. The obsidian traveler remains the ultimate proof that our ancestors were more daring, more connected, and more sophisticated than the history books will ever allow. They didn't just survive in the Caribbean, they owned it. Now I have to ask you a question that might change how you see your own heritage. Is it better to be the farmer who survives by building walls and planting seeds? Or is it better to be the hunter who vanishes into the cave to keep their language and their secrets pure? Was the transition to agriculture a necessary step for Caribbean civilization, or was it the first great mistake that cost us our freedom and our health? Leave your answer in the comments, because the history of the Caribbean is not a settled matter, it is a battleground.